Hello and welcome to Conversations in Cleantech, the podcast that celebrates the cleantech industry and the people that power it, brought to you by Brightsmith. For our seventh season, we're speaking to cleantech leaders about the process of investing in a cleaner planet, from inspiring stories and words of wisdom to financial forecast and investment insights. You can learn all about the people and companies who are driving these investments and propelling us towards a cleaner, greener tomorrow. I'm your regular host, Jenny Gladman, but this season there's a twist. I'll be taking a few months off to have my second baby. So I'm handing the reins of our podcast over to a series of fellow Brightsmithers who will be season 7's super co-hosts. So without further hesitation,
hello and welcome to Conversations in Cleantech. Today we are joined with Nick, the CEO of Ought Energy, a startup looking at the next generation of hydrogen electrolyzers, and a wonderful co-host Alexa coming from the world of carbon here to learn a little bit more about the hydrogen market.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me too.
Perfect. And poor Nick has been bearing with us through a couple of technology issues today, so we appreciate the doubling up. But Nick, if you can just walk us through a quick introduction, who you are and who Ought Energy are.
Thanks, Hitty. I'm Nick. I'm actually an electrochemist by training. Electrochemistry is really that interaction between electricity and chemistry. And that's exactly what we do at Ought Energy. At Ought Energy, we take electricity, ideally from renewable energy, wind and solar, and we mix it with water and we make hydrogen and oxygen. We do that to store that energy as hydrogen. That hydrogen can then be either turned back into electricity in a mobile type application, or it can be used in the chemicals industry, or it can be used in food. The oxygen we vent, but when we bring that the electricity back out of the hydrogen, we take that oxygen back from the environment.
Amazing. And obviously the electrolyzer landscape has really picked up in the last couple of years. So what is it about Ought that allows you to stand out in the market? You know, what's the special selling point, I guess?
So Ought Energy uses a technology called solid polymer electrolyte. And electrolyte is just really a fancy word for salt. So we use a solid polymer salt. And you need a salt between two electrodes to get the current to flow. But if you use a solid polymer, it gives you a lot of advantages. You know, you can, it's extremely efficient and you can turn it up and down very, very quickly. What makes us different at Ought Energy is we have a system, it's for safety, that means that we can make the membranes thinner. By making the membranes thinner, we're actually able to improve the efficiency. What that really means is we need to use less electricity to make the same amount of hydrogen. That's hugely important because electricity is expensive, okay? And we're really trying to drive down that cost of hydrogen. We're really competing with fossil fuel-based hydrogen. And what we really want to do is make that hydrogen cheap enough that actually companies will make the change from fossil fuel-based hydrogen, which traditionally comes from natural gas or methane, with the associated greenhouse gases. People will make that change to a renewable form of hydrogen, so hydrogen from water and renewable energy, not because it's the right thing to do, but because it's cheaper. And that way, the market will drive the change needed to help solve the climate problem.
Definitely. And I think we find this so often, the cost piece has the biggest impact, right? It's kind of the best way to convince people to make the change, I think.
Absolutely. The costs are actually made up of more than just the efficiency. So we've got this world-class efficiency, but importantly, we're also driving down the CapEx costs as well, because people still need, you know, it's hard to make and it's expensive to make that change. Even if the end product is cheaper, you've still got to buy the equipment in the first place. So driving down CapEx is also very, very important, and we're trying to tackle that price reduction in two fronts, both OpEx and CapEx.
Definitely. And I guess linking to that cost, obviously the key part that all these hydrogen businesses are aiming for is becoming commercial and having that commercial product. So how is Ort kind of approaching that, and what challenges are you seeing in the future for it?
So that's exactly right. So there's three key kind of pivotal points in creating a new business, a startup business. You know, the first one, you've got to have the idea in the first place. Take the product to market. That's kind of obvious. Number two is you've got to get the product to the market. That's actually harder than you imagine, because getting a product from the laboratory to the marketplace is all about durability, because that product has to last. You know, electrolyzers particularly are relatively large, relatively expensive items, so they need to last, they need to be durable. So that durability piece is all about getting a product, you know, that lasts in the field, and it's got to work. That's the key thing about that it's got to work. So that's number two, getting the product made. Number three is making a profit, okay? Getting out what's called the economic valley of death. And lots of startups fail at this point. And how we're tackling it is we're trying to take a kind of a lean culture. We're trying to learn, we take the kind of the best from the hydrogen industry, but we're actually trying to learn also from other industries, from automotive or from manufacturing, other types of manufacturing, whereby we try to keep a really lean structure, get it right first time, and actually implementing those really, really good systems that actually means we can become profitable much, much quicker than perhaps some companies that maybe grow very, very fast, but actually have huge overheads. By keeping the overheads down, we can take to that first one, and then we can start to organically grow with the market. Truthfully, these are large scale systems. And you know, the target market today, hydrogen is already used today. It's just behind closed doors. Lots of people think about hydrogen as being, for example, in cars and trains and buses. You know, it's the stuff that's in the news. And we love that stuff, by the way. I think it's fantastic. But truthfully, you know, the little known fact is it's estimated that about 2/3 of the world are fed by hydrogen, because hydrogen is used to make the fertilizer that's used to on farms. You know, synthetic fertilizer these days is made from hydrogen as a feedstock chemical. And that hydrogen today comes from fossil fuels. So actually, already that market exists. And actually, by changing to green hydrogen, we have an impact on the environment immediately, which is hugely important.
And Nick, do you think that having that kind of scientific background has also allowed you to see the route to market in a different perspective?
In a way, yes. It's often said that people with science and engineering backgrounds don't actually make very good CEOs. And and actually, I sort of agree with that. Because actually,
don't put yourself down.
In a sense, I sort of agree with it, because sometimes scientists and engineers can really focus on solving a problem rather than thinking about, you know, what the customer wants. I slightly differ, or at least I like to think I slightly differ, is that I actually think about it. I think about science and technology from a kind of business angle. What is it the customer wants, and how do we make that change to make change in society? So rather than solve a scientific problem, which may or may not be, let's try and solve that end use problem. And that's why I think, particularly in this industry, you know, it's really important to have a technical person sort of at the head of the helm of the ship. But there starts to become a time when it starts to move to more of a finance person. But actually, sometimes that kind of finance business head of things is sometimes missing from scientists and engineers.
Yeah, definitely. It's a bit of a balancing act, I guess, isn't it?
Absolutely it is. You know, I like to think I think a little bit differently.
You're the outlier. It's good.
Yeah, I might be one of the outliers.
And one thing I know we spoke about before, Nick, is obviously you came from the battery space before. So why hydrogen? You know, why personally for you is green hydrogen the the way you wanted to take your career?
I think batteries are hugely important. Batteries of energy storage is hugely important. And we're moving to sort of an electrical world, you know, whereby everything is run by batteries. It's hugely important. But for me, you know, I really, a lot of my career was not focused on small batteries, although I've worked on them, smaller batteries, you know, subsets that are used in cars or devices. Whilst I've looked at some of those materials in my career, you know, a lot of my kind of thinking was on that large scale energy storage, grid management side of things. And actually, you know, I sort of evolved into hydrogen as a way of kind of helping to manage the grid. That's how I sort of got into it in the first place, thinking about grid management, as well as thinking about hydrogen as a fuel. But it became quite important while I was here, I started to see, you know, these are really hard to abate sectors. And that's what really got me involved. We can make a really big difference. I'm not adverse to turning your LED light off on your screen. It's just that the size of the problem that we're trying to change is not going to be saved by a few small actions. We need to make wholesale change. Moving so much hydrogen from fossil fuels is used today that by making that change, actually, we can make a really measurable difference to the world of hydrogen.
100%.
Without doing any changes to our lifestyle. You know, if we were just to move from applications today that use fossil fuel-based hydrogen to green hydrogen, we would save 2% of global emissions. So 2% doesn't sound like a big number, but it's 2% of an extremely large number. So it's a really, really significant change. And that's before we start greening up transport or greening up steel or starting to green the heating system. So, you know, all of these things where hydrogen can also have an impact, we can actually start to make really significant change to the environment. And that's hugely important for me. You know, I've spent probably what's driven my whole career is about environment. Okay, it's why I got into this area in the first place. It's why, you know, it started off, you know, we didn't call it climate tech in those days, and we didn't call it, you know, we really called it, it was about things like air pollution. And whilst we understood global warming and we understood it, you know, we've understood it for a long, long time. The models are more difficult to predict, but we've understood the process. Trying to resolve that has been a big driver in my whole career.
I love that. And I think that I totally agree as well with really having a big impact. And especially when we do look at the hard to abate sectors, it's the hardest part. But then at the same time, it's really where we need to focus our energy. You talked about kind of dedicating your career now to what we do call clean tech and climate tech. What's been one of the most rewarding moments for you in this transition?
For me personally, I get a really, I mean, there's a few things here, but one is for me, I get a real kind of, almost a really warm feeling when I see these things operating. You know, it's really fantastic to see your laboratory-based technology on the marketplace and making a difference. So I'm so, so proud. I mean, I'm the CEO, so honestly, I take the glory, but the team do the work. They're doing a fantastic job of getting these products onto the market. But actually, these products on the market, you know, in the field, generating hydrogen, actually making a measurable difference. For me, that's an absolute highlight. I love seeing the kind of the technology from the lab scale on the marketplace.
Absolutely. And it must be such a proud feeling, even if, you know, you take all the credit. I don't think so. I think mentioning the team there, you know, that's a good sign of a CEO, surely.
Yeah. I mean, I always say this, you know, often I take the glory, but the team do the work. And actually, we've got a fantastic team, actually. We really have, and they have, you know, they are making the real difference. They are putting these things on the ground. They are delivering, and they are making this change. And actually, it's a team effort, you know. And it's not just a team effort with us, it's our partners, it's our customers, you know, and we're all together making this change. You know, the people that we are working with want to make a change because they also get that feel-good feeling from making that change. You know, we get that feeling internally that we're doing something that's really trying to make a change in the world that we live in, you know, for future generations. That's hugely important.
Absolutely. And I think that's something that we see across the hydrogen space is that willingness for collaboration and everyone just genuinely wanting to make an impact. I think it's quite a unique benefit of the sector, I guess.
Yeah, well, we're all in it for the right reason, I think. So, you know, actually, and we do tend to all work together. So we're all, so we work together as a team. Whilst in theory it's a little bit like car companies, there are multiple car companies, they're in competition, but you know, car companies are all trying to make this change together, and it's the same with hydrogen. So you know, we're all trying to do something together to make a change because we need to work together. You know, this no one person or company is going to do it on their own. So we need to work together in collaboration. Hugely important.
Definitely. And I guess almost from a different angle, obviously, a big factor behind these collaborations and things getting delivered is on the funding. And one thing we're really trying to focus in on this series is that investing in a cleaner future and how businesses are going about those funding journeys. So I'm interested to hear a bit more about how the investment journey and that side of things has gone for, or where are you at in that process?
So for us personally, we have a very compelling story. So that's great. We are making a difference. And what is great? So we've had hugely supportive investors. Okay. We've achieved a lot actually with a relatively small amount of money. So we've actually, despite the fact that we've got a large-scale demonstrator in the field, the UK's first completely off-grid electrolyzer, making hydrogen directly from sun, okay, it's operating on a customer site. We've got multi-million pound exports. We are exporting large-scale to the thing. We've actually only raised seed funding. But these things are expensive. You know, we're talking about infrastructure type changes. And infrastructure changes cost a lot of money to implement. Okay. So, you know, we are through those first two stages I talked about earlier, you know, we got the product, we had the idea, we took it, we turned it into a product. But we're in that still that loss making part. And we are to help us get through that, to grow, to make that, to improve our manufacturing, and also, you know, to give us the working capital to put these large-scale systems in the field. A, they're expensive and they take quite a long time to build because they're infrastructure. You know, there's quite a lot of upfront costs. We are fundraising right now, and we're about to fundraise. Later this year, we're fundraising. And it's tough out there. You know, the environment for fundraising is difficult, but climate, you know, is a great thing to be in, climate tech. And actually, investors do want to make a difference because, you know, they are making a difference too. Ultimately, they want to make a return, which is really, really important. We're trying to make a sustainable business so that we can give a good return to our investors. You know, that's what it's all about, creating a long-term sustainable business for us. And you know, our investors have been hugely supportive in that journey. But we are fundraising, and you know, like I say, climate tech is to some extent an attractive investment because, you know, the sector is growing so fast, you know, unbelievably fast, and people are really making those changes. So actually, you know, investors, they can help make that change by investing in companies like Oort, but not just Oort, by battery companies, you know, carbon capture companies. All of these things can really help make a change in the climate, and investors know that too. They can do their part. But it is tough out there. You know, economically, it's a tough environment. We're in, you know, 2 years ago, money was a lot cheaper than it was today. So you know, it's very difficult to invest in high growth companies. Sometimes it's easier to invest in a little bit more stable. So it is a tough environment to raise money.
Have you noticed a difference from the last time you went through sort of the fundraising? Or I guess it's a bit early if you're starting in the summer, or are you expecting a difference from the last time?
No, we are talking to investors now. And actually, yes, I have noticed. I've noticed a big difference. So some of the climate tech funds are also raising money for their funds, their venture capital funds, and they're struggling as well. You know, people are a little bit cautious, a little bit more cautious is probably the right word, in investments than they probably were 2 years ago. You know, because things are changing. Money is expensive. And actually governments are also, you know, sometimes these targets are being a little bit flexed because of geopolitical reasons. So, you know, and that the whole geopolitical atmosphere really affects the whole climate tech sector. So yeah, I have noticed a big difference, actually, quite a big difference. But the economy is getting better. It takes a little bit of time to transfer to the you know, investment community, but actually the economy is getting better. It probably hit a low late last year, and I think it's on the mend and improving.
And do you see any kind of significant investment trends within the hydrogen sector specifically?
In a sense, it's a deep tech investment. So I do see a little bit more of a move towards that so-called deep tech, you know, rather than, a software-based type investment, you know. So that in hydrogen itself, people really are starting to invest in that deep tech for the future, because they can start to see these things being deployed, making a change, and we can start to measure that change. So actually there is a bit of a move, I think, towards a little bit more deep tech, away from that kind of software. Software is still hugely important. And actually the thing about software is it's not very capital intensive. So traditionally was a relatively, and with potentially big returns. So it was a relatively easy investment. A lot of competition, but the returns could have been quite big. Deep tech is a lot more expensive, because getting that products and getting onto the ground is expensive. But investors understand this and actually are hugely supportive.
Definitely. And I think it's good to hear that the investors are kind of understanding of those differences too.
Yeah, definitely.
And I know we kind of touched on it before a little bit on the collaboration side of things, but in terms of like partnerships and things you're seeing in the market, has there been any interesting alliances for ore in the market? Have you had any of those partnerships that will help your success for the future, I guess, or is it more independent for now?
No, partnerships are hugely important for us, actually. It's part of our model. You know, we want to work in partnership. So one of the things that we, you know, that makes Ought Energy different is we take a collaborative approach. So we really take a collaborative approach to putting the products on the ground. And this, you know, I talked a little bit about it, touched on earlier, about this customer focus. Let's try and do what's right for the customer. Okay. So by taking a really collaborative approach, you know, and that's that partnership model whereby we can, we work with partners. So we've got partners in the renewable energy sector, you know, and we've signed kind of memorandums of understanding with them. We're looking at putting products on the ground. They have put some of our products on the ground for testing. They're looking at the techno-economic analysis of trying to, rather than sell the electricity from wind or from solar, they can turn that electricity into hydrogen and sell that energy as hydrogen, or even sell it as ammonia. So take the hydrogen to the next stage, which is ammonia, and sell that. So you're still selling energy, but you're selling it as a molecule rather than as an electron. Okay, the kind of mental analogy of that, imagine you had a farm that grows strawberries. You know, one of the ways when there's a lot of competition and the price of strawberries goes down, you can increase your value by selling strawberry jam. Okay, it's a little bit the same thing. So instead of selling that electricity directly, we can turn it into hydrogen and we can sell that hydrogen or ammonia. So that's that. So that's one of the really interesting things in there. So we've got collaborations on there. We've got partnerships with our end users, off takers. So we're a technology provider. We build the technology, we deploy it, but somebody else manages it. They take the electricity, they sell the hydrogen or use the hydrogen. So having partnerships with those people, and actually partnerships for us are hugely important. But it works in two directions. So we have a lot of partnerships with end users, with people that want to buy our products, that people that want to use it, to test it, whatever it is, we have those partnerships. And actually, we also help facilitate those partnerships between the end users and particularly off-takers. So people that use that hydrogen, we help facilitate those partnerships as well. But we also have a number of partnerships in our supply chain. So, you know, one of the ways that we can stay lean is by not doing everything ourselves. So we have partnerships throughout our supply chain where we have people build certain components for us. And actually, by partnering with people, rather than just be transactional, we can really help drive those costs down again, which helps facilitate that change. It's all about making that facilitating that change, and that's what's really important. So partnerships for us are hugely important. We can't do it on our own, and neither should we.
Absolutely, and it's also for the whole kind of mission that we're all trying to achieve right now. When we look at the climate tech and clean tech space, it's all around how do we include everyone in this journey. Nick, having been in kind of the startup space for a while now, is there any advice that you would either give kind of your younger self or other business owners on this journey?
Yeah, so number one is, you know, you are going to face some problems along the way. You know, the road is never smooth. I'll give you an example. We had a fairly large piece of manufacturing equipment that we ordered, imported. It was on a 6-month lead time. It was quite expensive. And before arriving to our site, it fell off the truck.
Oh no.
And, you know, luckily we were able to find a second-hand piece of equipment that allowed us to get our products to market. But, you know, these sort of things, these sort of setbacks, it's really hard to predict for them. But actually they will happen. And I can give you a number of examples of these sort of things. But actually these sort of setbacks, you know, completely out of your control, will happen. The key thing that I think, and this is our philosophy, the key thing that I think we did right and the thing that I would advise other people, it's really focus on getting that product to market, okay? So, you know, we have a Generation 1 product, which is significantly better than the marketplace. We have a Generation 2 product, which is even better again. But rather than wait for the Generation 2 product to be ready, you know, get the product, start to build your reputation for delivery. Really, really important, I think, because it gives you some credibility and helps you get out of that kind of so-called valley of death. That's extremely hard. But it's very easy in a startup to focus, to try and do everything yourself, to try and, you know, when I was younger, I tried to do everything myself. We tried to do everything in not in Oort, but in other companies where we tried to do everything. And actually, by partnering and working with people and staying lean, it's how we create these successful businesses.
I think it builds a certain amount of resilience, the startup culture, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, bumps along the road, you know, hurt in a startup, right?
You know, you feel it.
a large company, everybody has bumps along the road, but they're a lot more resilient. Mm-hmm. You know, bumps on the road really hurt. And actually, but they will happen, but you just have to build that resilience, learn from them, focus, you know, set a thematic goal, go for that thematic goal, set another thematic goal, go for it, you know, and actually really focus on achieving, you know, these things. Because what we're trying to achieve is quite large, but take it in steps, boom, you know, small thematic goals.
You make it sound easy, Nick.
easy. But you know, it's there was an advert a few years ago, I think, about a swan on the water looking very gracefully, and beneath it we're paddling like mad. That's a little bit like what it's like on a startup. You know, we're working really hard to get these products to market. You know, the team are working really hard, and actually sometimes that's what it takes, right, to get the products to market. And but actually hugely rewarding. The pride I have when I see these products on the market, you know, generating hydrogen, you know, in the field. You know, today is a little bit not that sunny, but you know, our solar powered electrolyzer, when the sun is shining, it's making hydrogen. It's fantastic. It's great to be there. It's great to see it. And it is hugely rewarding. The ups and downs are tough, but they're really worth it.
No, absolutely. And hopefully we'll have some more sunny days coming up so we can get some more hydrogen going. I think that needs to be the plan for the summer.
Yeah, no, exactly. You know, we were very proud last week, I think it was. Last week was one of the sunniest days of the year, and we produced more hydrogen from solar than we had all year. And so, you know, these are just a great thing to do, you know. I mean, the equipment sits there making hydrogen, doing its thing. You know, when the sun is shining, it's making hydrogen. But, you know, when it's a sunny day, it makes everybody feel happy anyway. But it makes us smile even more because we know that, you know, we're helping save the planet, right? And that's fantastic.
Definitely. Well, I'm sure we'll all be thinking about that on the next sunny day we finally get in the very grey UK at the moment. But thanks so much for your time, Nick. It's been really great to learn more about Oort and the journey. And look forward to seeing what's next. I know obviously the fundraising's coming up and the second product. So it sounds like there's a lot for us to be keeping an eye on. Alexa, are you converted to the hydrogen market yet?
Yeah, absolutely. Get me in on it.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Nick.
Thanks so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure.